Busy city life makes it hard to think about and work at integrating our faith with our lives. Welcome to the Cathedral Podcast, produced and hosted by Jenny Ho Huan. Each episode, we want to help you relate core Christian truths to your daily life. Whether it's science, philosophy, cultural trends, or life stories, we bring you authentic and unrehearsed conversations to spark insight and strengthen your faith and your life.
Hey, I am Jenny. Today, we are going to talk about three themes, leadership, vision, and the cathedral. And no other person better than to discuss this with me than the vicar of the cathedral himself, Terry Wong. Hi.
Yeah, glad to be here. Again.
Yes. Again. Well, yes. We really want to hear from you about these three big ideas that are very important and undergird the function and the impact of every local church. So let's begin with the whole idea of leadership. It's very common to hear people say that, you know, a local church must have a vision and a mission, you know, and there's this Bible verse, without a vision, people perish. So why don't you begin us off by speaking into that?
That is a good question. It's something that I've reflected on, I think, for a long, long time now, since I took on the mantle of serving in clergy leadership. In the first parish I was serving in St. John's Margaret's Church, and then a good number of years in St. James Church. For a while, I was the national director of Alpha Singapore, and that was a fantastic exposure to the international experience of how leadership is exercised in the ministry. And of course, into my fourth year now in St. Andrew's Cathedral. I think leadership in the context of church is unique, and I would say even radically different. There's a sense of stewardship.
Yeah.
There's a sense of a shepherd, yes, but under shepherd. And in Anglican terms, it's useful to be called a vicar, because vicarious of something, vicarious of Christ, and of course, on behalf of the bishop as well. Many people don't understand this, but actually, there's only, strictly speaking, one pastor, one main senior pastor in the Anglican Church, and that's the bishop himself. And each vicar is charged with the pastoral responsibility over a local situation called a parish, right? And so, this sense of stewardship, this sense of being given a time to be responsible for something, this sense of being part of a relay race.
Right. A relay race is something larger. So it's not just you in charge of your local church, making sure that it succeeds. So it's a very different paradigm.
So I've taken a baton, right, from someone, and I have to pass it on to someone else. So it changes your perception of what leadership is. I like to think, of course, Anglican, that that's biblical. You know, this sense of stewardship. And so it does shape the way it's played out, in the way I understand vision, church growth, my role, the role of the people in the church, and very importantly, my fellow pastors who are also vision bearers with me, right? So a sense of God's presence is a huge subject, as you can imagine.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So when we talk about vision, then is it in view of what you say about it being a relay race, you know, and being a vicarious role and all that, how does that translate into, typically when people say vision and mission, they have like a statement, you know? So like, you know, cathedral is meant to be da-da-da. That kind of statement thing, do you feel that is something important or actually not as critical in view of your theology of leadership?
Now, I think the vision for a church happens at three levels.
Okay. Right?
I think one is timeless in the sense that we have to be faithful to what was passed down to us.
Right. We are the universal church through the ages.
That's right. So, that's timeless. I must say, though, with time, sometimes the vision can blur or, you know, get confused. And so, actually, much of revival, reformation, so forth, to what's pristine is the desire to be authentic, to be original, so to speak, and to be faithful to what God has entrusted to us. But that's the second level of vision, that which is a localized vision. Specific to time, place, people.
Context.
And you'd be surprised, even Singapore, just one city, but every parish, every church has a different culture, Yes. It's a different history. Yeah. That makes it so interesting and so rich when you think about it, right? And that vision can be longer than the duration of a senior pastor's ministry. I think so as pastors, we need to remember that. You know,
that brings links back to the whole stewardship thing you were talking about.
And the relay race. Especially you take a St. Andrew's Cathedral, right? It's even longer than many, many ministries of a series of vicars when you think about it. So that's a localized vision. Of course, thirdly, and this vision may be most commonly used and understood, and that is a vision that is more time-bound. One-year vision, for example. Right? For example, we're into now a three-year vision. Coming from the diocese, from the National Church, a year of prayer, year of proclamation, a year of discipleship. And the cathedral will translate to last year to pursuing the heart of God in the year of prayer. This year of hope. And I suppose next year we can call it the year of discipleship. So it's time-bound. Right. Another church may say in 5 years you want to be a discipleship making church. Now that is easily understood, that's thematic. I would say all three ways of expressing vision is important, but I think all three needs to be kept together.
I think the challenge is integrating them, relating them, and just holding that in your consciousness all the time, right?
Correct.
And allowing one to inform the other. Yes. So for example, you may have a time bound vision. But you know, things don't always go the way we plan. There could be upsets, there could be surprises. But then with that, we can remember that, hey, we're also running a longer race. You know, then we don't beat ourselves up if certain things didn't quite turn out the way we want.
That's right.
And also the whole, I like the idea of the second level of leadership about being sensitive to the context. Because that makes our local church expressions very diverse, very colourful, and very responsive to the needs in our society. And that's important. How about the fact that St. Andrew's Cathedral, among, you know, all the Anglican parishes, sort of occupy a bit of a special place? Firstly, we are a historic institution. And the fact that it's called a cathedral, which means like a mother church. Could you tell us more about that?
Yes. I think when I first came in, I think it was Canon Titus Chung who was giving me a briefing, because he has been here before me as a priest in charge of the Chinese congregation. And he told me, Terry, there's only one cathedral in Singapore. You know, I was trying to say how unique the cathedral is, and it's like no other. Indeed, I think I'm into my fourth year now. I found it to be a very true and also very pleasant discovery. The riches in the cathedral, the congregation, the history, its mission in the city. We're given a huge piece of land, and it's not just about the size, about the location as well.
Yes.
Location, as you know, is everything. Right at the heart of the city, and it speaks volumes, I think, about our responsibility, our role, and part of my being vicar here is to excavate, you know, the calling, not to invent a new one, but to, of course, need to be refreshed, right? Need to speak to our contemporary situation, but a lot of my work and ministry here is try to understand what God has been doing, what He's doing today, and what He's seeking to do.
Yeah.
And then, interestingly, a lot of that does not come through having committee meetings. It comes through prayer, it comes through intercession. It comes through sometimes ordinary conversation with members on the ground.
Yes.
And just to sense together, piece things together, and to sense, hey, Lord, what are you wanting to do in and through the cathedral?
Sure, that's an interesting part of the job of a clergy. It's like being an investigative kind of, and having that curiosity about about what God is already doing, what calling God has given. Like you say, I like the idea that you're excavating, because that means there's treasures hidden that you need to find, rather than inventing new ideas to say, oh, we know we just have to stay fresh, relevant, whatever it may be. And that sort of honors the fact that God is a God who's faithful, the God who has always been at work in our city. And it's good that I think we are both disruptors, but also that we are faithful to what has been happening. That's an interesting tension. How do you personally manage this tension? Because, you know, I think we only every church only has that many resources. How do you decide whether to tilt towards the disruption and innovation versus the hanging on to the traditions and cultivating, deepening that is
an interesting balance to achieve. I think the diversity is a good thing.
Mm.
And I don't think balance comes through moderating everything till it becomes, in cooking terms, tasteless, you know.
Equal amounts of everything.
There'll
be no flavor.
You know, one great thing about Thai cuisine is that the ability to make every flavor intense. Whether it's spicy, salty, sweet, and, you know, and bring together in such a way it's not bland, but it kind of explodes in your palate. So I think what makes Kadira interesting is if you do tradition, let's do it well.
Right.
And this is something that I've been on a journey to understand why do we do what we do and can we do better?
Like you we do have organ music and last year when I came for Lessons and Carols during the Advent season, that was really a powerful experience personally, I felt, yeah.
The liturgy, I mean, do it well. And we did contemporary. Contemporary means contemporary to today, not to 10 or 20 years ago. And then let's do it well. You know, what can we learn from other Anglican churches? From other churches around us, other city churches, global cities in the world. So, I think it's interesting. And you do need some maturity in ministry. I think when I was younger, I was a lot more, one can say I was a lot more individualistic in the way I look at my ministry. Ministry is my fulfilling my vision, you know. Right.
Yeah. I think all clergy go through that journey.
After a while, you know, you can't die to yourself and get
tired. It's a great journey.
Terry's feel, you know, this feel called Terry, you run out of it. Right? And you begin to realize that, wow, what we involve is so much larger than us.
Mm.
And so it's a lot less about what I like or don't like. Mm. It is what should be, you know, what the church should be.
Yeah.
Right. And so just trying to discern. And I think Kadira is in a good place. The ability to offer such a wide diversity, almost a microcosm of our diocese when you think about it. And as a mother church, I think it's important to say, we are permissioning. We are saying, you can do liturgy this way.
Right.
Right? We are saying, you can sing this song. We're, in a sense, we're encouraging other churches to also consider that there are newer ways of doing ministry. Or if you're doing liturgy, there are better ways of doing it.
Mm.
Right?
That's cool.
Yeah, I think this riches is to be enjoyed. And sometimes we think that some members could be the NAVE members or others in the CNS. Mm. But actually, some of them are more versatile than we think. You know, I mean, they can be both ways. Of course, they have to stick to one. But if need be, they can be very comfortable. Someone who's contemporary can be very comfortable worshipping in a more liturgical setting. I think we should not categorize people in a very rigid way. And the ability to enjoy the richness, I think, is important.
Yeah.
It's important. I always say this, if someone is attracted to the church through pop culture, I may use that word, bring him to Christ first, right?
Exactly.
They have a lifelong...
Yeah, they have a whole life
time
to discover.
To him.
Exactly.
And vice versa. Mm. Someone who is attracted to a cathedral because of the bells or the sounds of pipe organ... Bring him in first, and you have time now to introduce you to him to a more personal relationship with Jesus, right? Yes. A faith that's more real and it's more from his heart rather than just being a cultural Christian.
Mm.
So either way, it works. Yeah.
Sounds like a good metaphor for that is a feast. For those of you who are listening in, you will want to know that Vicar is a great cook, and you can look him up, Google him. He's got a blog called The Food Canon. So yes, I want to go back to the feast idea then,
yes,
because you mentioned Thai food just now.
Yeah.
What you just described really sounds like laying out a feast for people. And yeah, maybe for starters, you try this and later you realize that your diet enlarges, you know, your capacity increases and you want to try different varieties. And it's a real blessing as a mother church to be able to offer that diversity as well as that history. Let's talk a little bit more about the history of cathedral that you have excavated. That has been maybe even personally meaningful for you.
Mm. Well, still excavating, when you think about it. What was significant of the renewal in early 70s, some people may not realize that it's not more than just the use of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the introduction of spiritual gifts, or more charismatic form of worship.
Oh, you're referring to the charismatic renewal in the 70s, right. With Bishop Chiu.
One thing it did, yes, it brought the Bible right to the center of our cathedral life. And that was what Chubani introduced. And that, in a sense, is a return to the Reformation.
Yeah, that's so
the
scriptura.
First Anglican Reformation. I think somewhere along the lines, as you check Anglican history, we have a tendency to kind of begin to place more confidence in forms and become less evangelical. And use the evangelical, the way the word is used originally. And so the renewal was also a restoration of the place of scripture, which I think is huge for the cathedral in the area of discipleship, the forming of hearts and minds. And I would say quite across the board in the cathedral, by and large, a huge majority are very centered on the word of God. You know? I think community is very important to the cathedral. And I say, I will especially emphasize that it's important partly because of the nature of the cathedral, being a city church. You have people coming in and going out.
Yeah, but it's quite porous here.
That's why I call it porous. Both ways, a high proportion of tourists as well, right? And that so kind of dilute our sense of community. We welcome them, of course, right? As compared to suburban churches.
Yes.
So you can imagine, our size also is an issue, and the limited capacity of our sanctuaries, so it means you're forced.
On the weekend, it's just such a buzz of people moving in and out.
Of course, the good thing about having multiple services is that you keep the cathedral small and personal, right? But it also means that we are very diversified in our community building. So I also see it as important, though we can never pretend to be like a parish because we are not. We don't face the same. Same environment as a parish like Good Shepherd or St. James Church. But we can do better. We can make this place warmer. We can make this place more human. For example, we're eating a lot more together.
That's important.
And the word emphasis is not eat, the word is together.
Together, yes.
I think it was Blue Touch, the Greek philosopher who said, we sit at the table not to eat, but to eat together. Right, the sense of conviviality of
not sit together at the table and look at your handphones.
Yeah, that's right. The sense of communion with each other. I think that's important after a long 1.5 hour service, maybe, which pretty much one way. And then we had a chance to fellowship and to talk to each other. And then you have the connect group. We have this motto, right? Keep the cathedral small, join the connect group. So the emphasis has been, let's make this place kinder, warmer. I don't think you can dispense with distrust. Some members have been here for years and years and years. So it doesn't take a lot, right, to sometimes create bridges and separation. But we keep working on it to forgive. We work at being a truly Singaporean church. I love the cathedral. One aspect of cathedral is truly, truly multiracial.
Yep.
When you think about it, you look around, you can see. And therefore, a challenge unity as it did for the early church, right? Language and so forth causes division. But, and culture, difference in culture.
And socioeconomic status as well.
Yeah, that too. But we can work at it.
Yes, exactly.
And we've been working at it. I think that's great. We work at it building community, that's important. And
yes.
The community is a context for a lot of
spiritual
things. Discipleship, life change, teaching. Jesus did that, right? He didn't kind of just go to synagogue and preach, but he built a relationship, he built a community.
Yes. So and God created us for community. Yes. I mean, we are social beings, you know. And the Trinity, like, models for us. Community is very important.
Great. So you check this last season I came, I think if there's one thing, I've been working very hard at just trying to bring people together.
Keep it up, Vicar. It's a very important piece of work.
Yeah. For every church, for the matter, not just
every church, And I think small churches or large churches have challenges because inherent in our human psyche is somewhat a longing for communion and yet a fear of it. You know, that's happening in all of our hearts. But being aware of it and then given the opportunity to explore that and to have experiences that are positive, that helps to lower our guard, helps to give us a sense of hope that the communion we long for is possible. I think that's what the church should be, because John says, they will know we are his disciples by our love, right?
Mm.
Yeah, so that's really important.
Yes.
Mm. So what has, so you mentioned that you have been here for 4 years, huh?
Mm.
So you, would you like to share some of your highlights being here, besides everything that you've been excavating? But, and what has been encouraging for you here as you've gotten to know your congregation, the flock, the history, as you have tested out your leadership ideas? What are some things that have been heartening for you and encourages you to press on?
Mm. There are many things I can say. Let me just list a few. For one, meeting brothers and sisters across all our services, whether NAVE or CNS, who are deeply devoted to the Lord.
Mm.
I met some amazing, high, deeply committed Christians to the work of the gospel, to mission, and their devotion to the Lord. That's one thing. And also met people who express spirituality in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, I think it's helpful that we don't, I also realize we shouldn't sometimes imagine that a Christian with a lot of passion raising his hands is necessarily more spiritual than someone who's quiet, right? I met some very quiet people who are very thoughtful, who may not want to say a lot in public, right? But they are thinking and observing. And their observations are sometimes very insightful and helpful. And sometimes they may disagree with the leadership. And that disagreement is helpful for us to reevaluate again, recalibrate, right? And, or maybe communicate better.
Yes.
Right? But sometimes there's a lot of misunderstanding, imagine in a big church such as
Those are ongoing leadership lessons all the time.
And I found very interesting, you know, I used to, I was serving here as a deacon. When I was younger. Of course, in those days, at that age, you know, the gospel is of ultimate priority, right? Spiritual things. So I don't care very much organ, pipe organ, bells, history, you know. But as you grow older, these things become more important. And I also discovered that there is a spirituality to it that you should not separate. I think they're all together. It's about stewardship, responsibility, and certain gifts that God has given to the cathedral, which no other churches have. Right, that connects us with the world, so
such as
music. We have been having choirs singing, we have organ recitals, we have been refurbishing the pipe organs. Right, I'm looking forward to it. Actually, they're being installed even as we speak.
And we are all looking forward to the bells.
The bells as well. So the heritage, as well as the heritage in terms of history, you know, people, the past. I've been reading up on previous vicars, how they have served, how they contributed. Saints of old. Of course, Anglicans, we don't call them saints something, but obviously
it's a great cloud of witnesses, yes,
who serve a very saintly, in a very saintly way, you know, selfless, and these are the, some of the pillars in the community, in the cathedral. And so, yeah, I think that has been one wonderful discovery.
Yeah.
As well as there is an interesting mission on the cathedral. The cathedral is connected to the wider body of Christ here in a very unique way, right? In that sense, she's not just a mother church for the Anglican Church, but she's also a national church. And that's correct. I mean, we sit on a prime piece of land, you know, and it's so huge. And I think it'd be shame if we say that all this is only for Anglicans, and that would be terrible. In fact, early pioneers didn't have strong denominational labels.
Yeah.
I think with the early Christians who were working together were very much coming from different church streams. And they contributed to the building of the cathedral, isn't it? So, so cathedral has this sense of connection with the wider body and also a national connection. I mean, we've been hosting many national events here, of course. Yeah. So, that's the role we play too. Not just physically, but I trust to have a voice as well, you know, where we are interacting with people who are also thinking for the nation, albeit not from a faith perspective, right? But we join in from a faith perspective and we do it in a way that's reasonable, in a way that catches people's attention, that makes sense. And that, I think, can be a very good contribution.
So we are, so cathedral is a living monument to the great acts of God through history, how God brings people together to love Him and be the people of God and, you know, build the church.
Yeah, it's cathedral is a living monument. It may jump on that word. Cathedral is still creating history. I mean, there's some other cathedrals in the world, unfortunately, for which history, history creation has stopped.
Yeah, that is sad. Right? It's just a
so it's
a
hollow building,
talking
about the past, and that's it, right? Yeah. Mm. But in cathedral is still creating history for the future generation.
Yep.
So that makes the cathedral very interesting. So we have rich history in the past, and riding on it, we're still creating history.
And a part of that is being a voice in the city, engaging the public narrative, public discourse,
Correct.
Being a space where we can host a wide spectrum of Christians and even just citizens of Singapore to come in and engage in meaningful conversations.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Nice.
Yeah. And so we just keep at each, under our watch, right? I use watch, it's not just a vicar, but lay leaders and the congregation.
It's a whole team of people.
It's a responsibility. Mm. Right? While we are blessed, we're also seeking to bless.
Yes.
And thinking of the future all the time, that we are seeding into the future and may what we plant be something that will truly edify the body. The edification of the body is a big thing, by the way. Mm. The First Corinthians, for example. So it's about the bodies, not about us.
Yes.
Right? It's very interesting thought about leaving something behind.
Mm.
Sometimes we joke, you know, will I be mentioned when they put up, you know, those posters, World War II heroes? Right. So someone's joke among ourselves, PC members, maybe you need to be martyred or something, then you get to be featured there.
Yeah.
But it's very interesting to note that actually sometimes some of the greatest contribution may become of people who are anonymous.
Exactly.
Your legacy live on to those you have influence.
Mm.
Not so much that you can't draw your influence to your attention to yourself. Sometimes it's mentioned as well, good, but some people are not mentioned, but actually their legacy has lived on in the lives of the
absolutely. I think the fact that Cathedral is here and still able to be a vibrant spiritual presence in the city speaks of the legacy that it has and the inheritance it has from those that have gone before. And many of them, you're right, will never be maybe known or mentioned. Just quietly, you know. I just think about the kneelers in the church, for example.
Yeah.
I mean, just the whole team of women who embroider those kneelers so that we can kneel on them, you know. We don't know their faces, we don't know their names, but they have created a spiritual atmosphere for everyone to be able to encounter God. Mm. And that's a huge contribution, just patiently doing that. And I'm just wondering, moving forward, before we end, would you like to share maybe just one or two, in view of how rapidly our society is changing, one or two challenges you see coming up that cathedral will need to navigate well?
Mm. I can think of a few. Well, first off, the way individuals access information, the way they trust in their perception, because now they access information, they can Google, rather than trust information coming from someone else, especially from the institution.
From authority sources.
Authority sources, that's right. And so there is a culture of suspicion.
Right.
Right?
True.
And therefore, I think there's a need to build our unity in the midst of all these modern changes. Of course, the government talk about fake news. That's one way of handling it. Mm. But in the church, it's different, right?
Yeah.
I don't think you can eradicate misunderstanding or misinterpretation. But I think we need to keep talking. More important, we need to hear each other's hearts.
Right.
That is very important. Mm. I found all my years of ministry, when someone get to know me, the communication is built. So much warmer, so much built on trust, every little misunderstanding.
Yes.
But we need to, I always say, before we meet first, let's eat first. build that sense of togetherness. Well, secondly, another challenge, of course, is the challenge of wealth. With the immense wealth we have in Singapore, we have a lot of wealth, and
so
much
blessed,
of the wealth also comes into the church.
Mm.
How we manage that wealth, I think the way we run the ministry of the church is important. I think we need to be sensitive to those who have a lot less than us.
Yeah.
And that include other faiths as well.
Mm.
I think that's important. Also, we're coming across very much as...
The church is. It looks like a middle to upper class kind of...
That's right. Yeah.
That's right.
We need to
be
careful about that. Yes. And this conversation, I think we need to have with all churches as well. Some of the recent saga I don't need to mention, names of churches. It's a wake-up call that we have grown up very fast as a church, you know, we have a lot of wealth, and we need to ask them for how are we managing our success.
It's like a young adult who has come into some money, right?
Okay.
And then he needs to develop some disciplines to manage it and steward it well.
And thirdly, I think is this, well, I four things to say. The third one is connection. The way people are connecting nowadays, they're connected to the phone, they're connected to the internet all the time. They may have difficulties, therefore, connecting one another.
Yes.
And of course, great difficulties connecting with God.
Mm.
You see, prayer life is now a challenge.
Yeah.
They need to pull away, they need to enter into God's presence because our connectional energy is spent all the time on,
yes.
on you know, on,
yeah.
on connecting with the rest
the
of the world.
Connectional energy. We actually all only have a certain amount of that.
Correct.
And we have given that to a device. Mm. We may not have that much for a human being, and much less for God, who we can't visually see, right? It's not visible to us.
The environment has changed. Yeah?
And we actually mediate our connection with God by using apps as well.
Correct, correct.
We use
so these are challenges as well, plus pros and cons. So I think we need to reflect
on that.
Not
that it's all wrong, but that's something to think about. Yes.
You know, those who have gone pre-IT age, have grown as Christians, I think we can recognize how times have changed.
Yeah.
I think a lot more theological work needs to be done to raise awareness and therefore give some direction into the way that we could now therefore disciple our members, help them to grow. Because fourth is, of course, there's always time. With lack of time, which means lack of prayer, lack of Bible reading, lack of time for discipleship. And that's, of course, a constant challenge. I can think of a few more, but enough for us.
Those few are really huge. But I guess you are quite right to say the whole way we are now more suspicious of authority, time, and connectivity and all that, it does come under the very huge umbrella of discipleship, of growing people holistically as persons made in the image of God through the different seasons and stages of their life. And life is happening at such a fast pace.
Yes.
Every season of your life is so packed.
That's true.
And then time becomes a real crunch.
Mm.
Yeah. Wow. Those are great challenges indeed. I must say, I do not envy being in your shoes. But God
shoes.
Has called you.
Our shoes.
Yes, it's true. It's true.
We're all together.
We are all in this together. Yes. But God has called and appointed you to a very special place here in the cathedral. It's a place of great riches, and I don't mean material riches, but just a lot of spiritual heritage and legacy. A place where you are continuing, we are continuing to create history with the Lord leading us.
Mm.
And we will pray for you, Vika, and
appreciate
we
that.
Hope that all the members of the cathedral are also praying faithfully as we all realize that this is an unfolding story of God's kingdom in our midst. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening in. We hope you've been encouraged with some new thoughts on faith and life integration. You can find us on the Cathedral app, iTunes, Spotify, or at cathedral.org.sg/podcast. Be sure to join us again.